Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
That's good. Who feels the presence of the Lord here this morning? Such a good thing to be in the presence of the Lord. And this morning, you've probably seen the door behind. Don't get distracted by the door. You're looking at me at the moment. But I just know that God has always wanted relationship with us. Intimate relationship with us. And I'm going to continue this morning on my series. I don't know how long it's going to go for. I really don't care. I know you don't care. On the new covenant, and that we're walking in a new covenant, and I want to keep unpacking that. And I can't do it in one service. I've got to do it in multiple services. But my thing this morning is, it is a lot about faith. It's interesting you've been talking about faith this morning, because it's faith that unlocks the door. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But I did want to start in this way, behind the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and have relationship with him. Thank you, Keith. That was unplanned. I was just wondering to see who might come and greet me at the door, but that's exactly what Jesus does. And I think he's still doing it today. He's standing at the door of people's hearts and he's knocking. With the Holy Spirit's help, something is being activated in people's hearts and minds. And I'm believing today that doors will open here today. Doors will open here today. Ministry doors, whatever doors need to be opened here today. Not pushed open, but just Holy Spirit opening those doors this morning. And Jesus decides to come and to sup with us, to have relationship with us, to have a meal with us. There's something about around a meal that relationship is built. Who loves food? I do. Food's a good thing, but there's something about relationship being built around food, but it's about relationship. God has always wanted intimate relationship with mankind. We all know well that Adam completely messed it up, and then the second Adam, Jesus, had to come and fix it up. And there was like, if you will, a door that needed to be opened from heaven, but it was earth's door that needed to be opened. So every time I mention a door, I'm actually going to walk through the door, okay? Might sound silly to you, but it is an act of faith that Jesus, who was in heaven with his Father and the Holy Spirit, so Father God, so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all in fellowship with each other, and they decided, Son, you're going to go through the earth door. Hi there. And Jesus came through the earth door in the normal human way, but through a virgin birth. As we know well, Mary became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It was the Father's seed planted in her womb. It wasn't a man's natural seed, which had a corrupt nature. The nature of the Father in heaven is pure, sinless, uncorruptible seed planted in by the Holy Spirit into a human being. Wow. Imagine that. Mary carrying the seed of heaven, the Father's seed. And it was her yes that changed humanity. Her yes say, her saying, yes, be it unto me. She could have argued and said, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through this. But she did. And it was her yes that changed the earth. It was her yes that brought heaven to earth to change things. Jesus came and he was, I don't know how you want to describe him, but he was all human and all God at the same time. Don't try and work that out in your head. You'll never make it. I've tried to work that out a few times and I get bamboozled. But God came in this particular way. If you can imagine too that there was like 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Malachi to Matthew, there was 400 years of silence. Has anybody had the silent treatment? My missus and I, we used to fight like cats and dogs, and not greatly, but we did, and I would generally play the silent treatment. And this would go on for sometimes from, depending on what it was, could have gone on for a week or more. But now we've got it down to about 5 minutes. We've got it to 5 minutes. So have what you need to say it, and get over it and get on with it. And that's a great way to live, because you don't. The last thing you want to do is live out of relationship with your spouse. And God's come and he's wanting, he's opened arms and he's saying, I want relationship with you. In amongst this 400 years of silence, of no relationship, really the stage is set for something big to happen. And over 363 prophecies starting to be fulfilled, some fulfilled, and then all of a sudden a whole stack of them fulfilled through Jesus. Do you know the odds of just 8 of those prophecies being fulfilled? It's like 10 to the power of 17. It's like it's way past winning the lottery. Like, I think the lottery's 1 in 1,000,000 or whatever it is, or getting struck by lightning 4 times in your life or whatever it is. This is like go way past all of that. God, you know, God does things in a big way. He got hold of you in a big way. He got hold of me in a big way. I pray he gets hold of you in a big way today. I wrote a little thing here. If you want more, then there's a door. It's my little saying. I like making them up. If you want more, then there's a door. I'm going to keep saying that this morning. So the stage is set. There's all of these prophecies starting to be fulfilled. And God, we know it well in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world through a door, the earth door, into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And to set us free from sin. And to forgive sin and to set us free. That's the gospel. So we can all pack up and go home. But that is the gospel. In essence, that is the gospel. And that's why we're here. That's why we're fellowshipping together here this morning. So this gospel, this good news, this long prophesied new covenant wherein all believers who are spiritually reborn are co-heirs and beneficiaries of heaven. It's powerful because of one man, Christ. So powerful. You are pre-blessed. This is your stand right now. You are pre-blessed and curse-proof. Do you remember Deuteronomy 28? Blessings and curses, a blackboard of curses and a blackboard of blessings. If you did this, you were cursed. If you did that, you were blessed. It's no longer that now. It's through Christ now. You have been blessed. Ephesians 1:3, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every. Say it together. Every. Just kidding, but. But you know what? Every spiritual blessing, they are physical blessings too. Because when you get healed, that's come from the spiritual realm. Every spiritual blessing, when you get healed, it manifests in this flesh. The spiritual realm is more real than this natural realm. By a long shot. And then you are curse-proof in Galatians 3:13. For Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It's now the focus of the new covenant now is about forgiveness. It is about forgiveness now. And loving others, that's what it's all about. So you are already forgiven if you mess up. That's hard for us sometimes to understand. How can I be forgiven already when you and I know we're going to go out of here and we're probably going to sin again? The focus is not on sin anymore. The old covenant was focused on sin. The new covenant is focused on love. And it's focused on the Spirit. It's two totally different things. Colossians 2:13 and 14, but I'm just going to say a little bit of it. God made you alive with Christ. Amen? And he has forgiven us all our sins. Not some of them, not the ones past, but all of the ones past, present and future, all forgiven. Because it's our focus now is on the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. That is our focus now. It's about his righteousness. My identity is not in what I do. It is now in Christ. And so I'm wanting to look at parallels as we go along here just to help us to, jolt us out of whatever other stuff we've been taught over the years maybe, or the stuff that we might still be in unknowingly, and I'm still in some of that stuff. Okay, I'm not presenting myself as perfect, but I'm wanting to talk about these things because it's very important. If we want to have freedom, we need to actually be in freedom. We actually need to be in the new covenant and act and be in there. Another thing is you are now a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter 2:9 says that, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You belong to God. We are now all one in Christ. So the first picture that I've said is Christ Jesus came into the world to save the world. And he came through the earth door and he basically leaves again to the earth door and goes back to heaven. And he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Interestingly enough, the Holy Spirit then comes through heaven's door and ends earth's door and comes into the earth, the Holy Spirit, as a counselor. The word counselor means one exactly the same as Jesus Christ. He speaks the same. He acts the same. He is the same in every single way. He is our helper now. So we've got Jesus who showed us how to do life here on the earth. And then he's back with the Father. And now we have the Holy Spirit helping us and empowering us to do the things that we need to do. Isn't God smart? I love it. I love how God is so smart. And if we can go through these doors, you know, when we got born again, we went through a born again door into a new room. Wow. I'd have to turn those lights off back there. I came from a place of darkness and into his glorious light. For effect, of course. I got born again, I got saved, I became a new creation. Something changed on the inside of me. You say God is not doing any creating anymore? Oh, yes, he is. Every time someone gets saved, they become a new creation. Something changes. God grabs hold of a person's heart and he changes them on the inside. I want to hold that point. Picture two. Ministry. We're all called to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ into this earth. And Jesus wasn't just your normal average guy. He wasn't just, again, as I said, he was all man and he was all God at the same time. I always say he had an unfair advantage. That might be unfair to say, but however, he did show us how to live this human life spiritually. He did show us, and we can do it. Now, we've been talking. My first message was about experience and validation and belief, and then culture or lifestyle. Well, Jesus' validation was very interesting. His validation was that every single Jewish boy was trained to be a rabbi. Every single one. And there was this really tough process. You had to learn all sorts of things. You had to do all sorts of things. And I won't get into that. That's another whole message that I've preached before. But there was this graduation service that every rabbi went through, and it was water baptism. So no tests anymore. Don't have to do any more tests. Isn't that good? Who's finished with tests? I'm finished with tests at the moment. So Jesus goes through a water baptism door where everybody is watching to see who gets authority. See, a rabbi without authority can only teach what his rabbi is teaching. But a rabbi with authority can teach his own yoke. It's called a yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is. So when Jesus got authority, he was able to make up his own teaching. Really interesting. I'm way ahead of myself. So the Torah stated that to have authority, you needed two verbal witnesses. John the Baptist, John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Verbal witness one. Then when Jesus goes through the waters of baptism and he comes up and out of the water and through the water baptism door, God says, "Behold, this is my Son in whom I love and I'm well pleased." The whole place went quiet. You betcha, it went quiet, because all of a sudden a rabbi turned up, which don't turn up, with authority. And how come did Jesus, on his first sermon, who's preached before? Who's preached before? Come on. Where's all the preachers? How'd you go on your first sermon? How'd you go? Mine was really shaky. I think I spoke on ants. The ant, you know, anyway. Let's not go there. It was a shaky message, but I was having a go. Jesus, his first messages in Matthew's chapter 5, chapter 6 and chapter 7, the crowds came from everywhere. Why? Because all of a sudden he was preaching a yoke. He was preaching a brand new message of the kingdom of God. And it was easy and it was light. And that's the gospel that we have today. Isn't that a great picture? I love that picture. The old covenant yoke is complicated and the burdens are heavy. But Jesus makes it all light. Just to prove my point that he was preaching this way, Matthew 7:28, They were amazed at his teaching, one who had authority. Mark 1:21 to 28, and I'll shorten it. What is this? A new teaching and with authority. Sounds like Batman, doesn't it? What is this? The Batmobile. Get the Batmobile. Sorry. Sorry, I'll calm down. I'll calm down now. Mark 11:27 to 33, shortened again. By what and authority are you doing these things? Wow, when you see that picture, you go through a door and you see the authority of Christ. It is powerful. When you move into the authority of Christ, you understand Christ and the authority that he has. It's powerful. And to top it all off, when he come up out of the water, the Holy Spirit rests on him like a dove. Did he need to? Not according to the authority side of things, but I think that the three in partnership, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, were doing all these things together all the time. And it was probably one of the rarest moments if you could separate the three of them, because they were so unified. The Father spoke an audible voice from heaven. Jesus was in the water and the Holy Spirit rested like a dove. We see the Trinity right there. Right before our eyes, we see it. Okay, let's move to another door, the new covenant door. I was going to ask a question, has anybody had a baby? Well, I need to ask that a different way. If you're married and you're a woman, have you... I won't even ask the question. It's probably safer if I don't ask the question. But when a woman has a baby, the baby leaves all it knows here and ends up in this amazing world, this huge big world. It's like, here I am and here you are. You know, you came through a door. An interesting door, but you came through a door. When you come through, through a door of experience, you are leaving everything that you knew before and going into a new experience in Christ. Sorry to give that little analogy or example, but it's exactly just like that. Everything that you possibly knew, everything that baby possibly knew, the feeling, the touch, the noises, I'm so used to this. I could live here forever. Ah, no. Ask any woman that's like here. No, you're getting out of here. And there comes a time where we do have a birth in the spirit. And we have to come out of that place. Otherwise, it wouldn't be good. You're susceptible to dying. The mother's susceptible to dying, and that wouldn't be good. So we must move in the spirit when the spirit moves. If we don't move, we've got to start all over again. It's got to be birth. So the seed, the birth, the germination, all of that, go through that process and get to that place. If you've got oranges on a tree, and they're fully ripe, do you leave them on the tree? Just a thought. So we're moving from the old covenant to the new covenant, and we're going through a new covenant door. Hebrews 8:6 in the New Living Translation says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood." Who knows, we're talking about the old covenant. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. I don't know about you, but I want to live there. I don't want to live in the old stuff. I want to live in the new stuff. And sometimes we need to get a revelation and go through that door and come into this new place found freedom in Christ. But some of us get stuck between the old and the new. I'll open the door about that far. And sometimes I feel like the Bible's saying this, and then it's saying this. And if I keep toing and froing like this, I'm going to be really stuck. I'm going to be confused. I really haven't come fully into the new covenant. It's really important that we grasp these things. You know, the Old Testament is not all old covenant. Some of it's new. And the same with the New Testament. Not all of it's new covenant. Some of it's old. And we have to work out, and that will be my next message, I'm going to talk about the Bible. I'm going to talk about how we can distinguish between the old and the new, just purely by reading it and by understanding it. Very, very simple. It's interesting that faith had to come into the world. We talk about faith this morning. Galatians 3:11, the righteous shall live by faith. Who's righteous? We are. If we're in Christ, we are righteous. The righteous, we live by faith. The law is not based on faith. It's based on performance. Galatians 3:25. I love Galatians because it really is a small little book that really explains a lot of this stuff. If you have a good old read of it, especially chapter 3, it really blows some things. And I love 1 Corinthians, or is it 2 Corinthians 3, around 16 and in there too. There's some really good refreshing stuff if you want to refresh yourself. But Galatians 3:25 says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. So the law was a supervisory thing. It was a schoolmaster. It was a school teacher. Who had a good headmaster? You did. I didn't. I got the cane at least 60 times. Yeah, he exactly right. He was a, look at me now. You ever got the cane and it's just about to come down and you pull your hand? Well, this headmaster, he'd go down and come straight back up to get you on the knuckles. It was the best thing for me. And I'm dead set serious. It was the best, I know. It was the best thing for me. It towed me into line. I am what I am today because of it. I think. Okay. All right, moving on real quick. Okay, some comparisons. Old covenant, new covenant. So we've got a new covenant that's based on faith. The old covenant was condemnation, it was performance, and it was all, and if you failed, you knew all about it. But the new covenant is a right standing with God. It's now about faith in Christ. That's what it's all about. The old covenant was conditional, and it had huge penalties if you didn't meet them. The new covenant is unconditional. However, you will need to believe. The old covenant was unable to forgive sin, but the best it could do was cover it. The new covenant completely forgives sin, past, present, and future. That's good news. The old covenant was unable to impart life, where the new covenant is able to impart life. Wow, that's powerful when you think about that. Man, just living in that, it's sort of like, let the river run, God. You know, the river's stopped up on this side, But in the life side of things, let the rivers run in the barren places, sister, brother, mums and daddies, welcome to Paddy's. I don't know where this stuff comes from, Keith. It just comes out. We'll talk about it later. The purpose of the old covenant was to magnify sin. The purpose of the new covenant is to magnify Jesus and his righteousness. You are holy. I've got a thing written on my board at home. You are holy. It settles it. Whatever you do, you can do whatever you want. You're holy. You change it because you're holy. That's what a lot of the new Christians were changing things in the pagan practices of the day. You know, the Easter ones and the Christmas ones and all those things. They were all they changed them. The new Christians swept over the whole world and they changed it all. Because they were holy, they just knew they could change it. We're powerful people, whether you choose to believe that or not. Powerful people. When you get the revelation and you go through that door, I'm a powerful person. Whoa. Things change. Things are different. When I understand that, it makes me laugh, this door, because on this job site once we're up on a hill and the wind kept blowing through the house and we were renovating it. The people didn't live there; it was a holiday house, and so we were doing it up all the time. And this one door was always used to blow open; the wind would go through. And it'd do that. And every time it did it on its own, and every time it did it, we said, get out and stay out. So the wind would blow through and the door would open and it'd go, and get out and stay out. Anyway. And stay out. The old covenant led to bondage. The new covenant sets you free. The old covenant was external. Now you have direct access to the heart of the Father, the mind and the heart of the Spirit. Powerful. The old covenant was limited to one nation. Now the new covenant invites everyone in everywhere, no matter who you are. It's not exclusive, it's actually inclusive. The old was temporary, the new is forever. It's eternal. Can't take it away. This is forever. The old was impersonal, the new one is personal. It's relational. The old was a ministry of death, and the new was a ministry of the Spirit. Two totally different things. We must be careful what we say and do, because if it has the overtones of old covenant, it is a ministry of death. One drop of poison in a glass of water will kill. Just one drop. So we must be careful. I'm always careful what I say and what I do, because I don't want it to sound condemning. I want it to sound inclusive. But at the same time, I don't want to be such a free spirit that I'm all over the shop, because then you can have a sloppy grace which doesn't do anything for anybody, really. I think there's still healthy boundaries. I think there's still a reaping and a sowing. I think there's a whole heap of things which I'll bring out in due course. So I think you get the picture between the old and the new, yeah? Who wants to live in the old? Bom, bom. Who wants to live in the new? Who's come into The New Covenant. Wow, check this place out. Wow, look at all these people in here in the New Covenant. Whoa. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to be. So now it comes down to kingdom doors. Who knows that some doors are harder to open than others? On this door, is a lock. Who's ever found that a door has been really hard to open? I think we've all experienced that. Like, how come this door seems like it's locked? Yet I'm in the kingdom, I'm in the new covenant, in the spirit, and I want to move forward, but I'm sort of like going, come on, man. I want to open that. What's going to open it? A key. What do you think the key is? Exactly. I have a faith key here. And hopefully I've got the right key. Look at that. It opens up the door. Faith. Thank goodness I did have the right key, eh? Because if I didn't have the right key, it'd be embarrassing. Faith is the key that opens every door. Every door. No matter what door. When you got saved, it was faith that opened that door. When you got healed, it was faith that opened that door. When you do get healed and you go and you come into your healing, you go, I'm healed. All of a sudden, something's happened on the inside. I'm in a different room in the kingdom. The kingdom's huge. It's massive. I think the kingdom's got numerous doors to open and numerous places to explore. We've got a place we can explore now, go upstairs and explore a new room up there. It's so much fun, said someone. Oh, he's been up there 3 times. Show us how it's done, Joey. Come on. Yeah, show us how it's done. You need to do it quickly. This is your exercise program. Here we go. Joey's going up and go into the room. He opens the door and goes into a new room. That's cool, isn't it? Okay, thank you. Bye. You can come back anytime you like. So we can pick out any door that you want. I think the worship door is one of those great kingdom doors to open. If you've never worshipped God, well then seek, ask Him. God, I need to show me how to worship you. Show me what it's like to. I want to be intimate with you, God. And when you go through that door of worship and intimacy, you're in a totally different place. I see some people really affected in worship, that they go to a totally different room. I don't know about you, but I, as a young kid, I did a lot of worship, and worship is one of my greatest passions. And I know God touched me in that room, and it actually was my bedroom. And I picked up my guitar, and I wrote song after song after song after song to Him in worship. I went into a different place. And when I did, and then when I shared it, it took other people into a different place. So we're all to encourage each other. I would encourage you, as one of the biggest doors in the kingdom, would be to get through the worship door. If you don't know how to worship, well then get around somebody who does. Learn. Teach yourself. It's one of the biggest doors. Please don't stand in worship going, expecting that it might affect you. It won't. Like what Keith said this morning, it's got to have some action to it. It's got to have some response of faith to go in. It's got to have something. I'd love it if God would just, wouldn't it be great if God just did the whole lot? You know, we wouldn't have to do anything. We wouldn't have to preach, Keith, would be great. We wouldn't have to turn up. Wouldn't have to do anything, it's all done. Well, in essence, it is all done, but you have to appropriate it by faith. By faith, this morning you got in your car and you came to church. By faith, you entered through that door. And I'm believing that today you would be encouraged to go through a new door. This is a new season. Go through the new season door. I want to go through the new season door. Whoa, check this place out. A new season. I prophesy a new season over this place. Prophecy is another door to go through. But prophetically, I believe that God's going to fill this place. Not just because we want it full, but because we love God. And we want to see God do something, yes? We can build in the natural, but we're really building in the Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, man's power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Another big door to go through is prayer. If you don't know how to pray, then just open your mouth and let the words come out. I really don't care what it sounds like. I've heard some doozies. You know what? Just pray. I would prefer a heart that's praying than one that's not. I would prefer one that's verbalized than one that's not. You'd be surprised what it does for you. When you go through and you pray, verbally pray, you go into a different place. But if you don't pray and you stand there, the door won't open. You've got to do something. Prayer is like the engine room, really. Prayer is where everything's birthed. Prayer is super, super important. It touches heaven. And it gives heaven a chance to touch earth. Just a couple more. What about the joy door? Hey, has anybody gone through the joy door? It's sort of like. Woo! It's the joy door. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not your joy. It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. When He causes something to rise up on the inside of it, it's not a put on. Sometimes it looks like a put-on, but sometimes you actually have to start the motor and get going, and the Spirit of God catches up with it, and all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord becomes your strength like you wouldn't believe. It's in the Spirit. It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not your own joy, not your own achievements or feelings of happiness. It's a joy of the Lord. It's a spiritual thing. And when you go, I don't know if you've ever fallen out in the joy, whatever you want to call it, and it becomes an uncontrollable thing, you've gone into another new place. And many people asked that question at that time when a lot of the joy was going around, is this doing anything? Yes. That person could be getting healed, set free. But then there was a lot of abuses with it too. People who would just come just to get it and drink it Freddie. Drink it. That's okay too, but don't abuse it. Don't abuse the freedom. We can't abuse it. It's important. And we as leaders are going to help facilitate those things. If joy broke out in the place this morning, I'd say, let's go. Because we need it, man. If we had joy for a whole year and we needed to preach something, I'd say, stop. We need to teach and preach about something this morning. Because you're already free. You've already gone through the joy door. But if the joy door opened up this morning for every one of us this morning, I'd sit down and I'd just get into it too. Because we so much need joy. Because it's his strength. And you need it to be free. Sometimes we're just so bound up, like a 24-hour clock with a spring that's, you know, have you ever seen one of those? You guys don't know what I'm talking about, a clock, do you? You do? Yeah, okay, all right, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. And you wind the clock up and it will go for a certain amount of time till the spring goes down. And a 24-hour, you know, clock, one that'll go for 24 hours. Wow, that's huge. That's big. That was big in our day. I remember getting my digital clock, the one that I plug in the wall, in 1973. I still have it beside my bed. I still look at it beside my bed. Now, that's weird, isn't it? It's still going, and I still use it. It's still got a radio in it, and it's very modern. Anyway, I don't know. Hey? It's back in. See, I am modern. I'm the new modern. Doors. What about doors of the Holy Spirit are opened by faith? 1 Corinthians 12. All of those gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you know, all of those, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are all opened by faith. You get it, don't you? I hope this morning that I've sparked something inside of you to think, hey, there is more in the kingdom. There's so much more than I can be experiencing. And if there's any one of those things I've mentioned this morning, you've got to open it by faith. It's appropriated that way. It's the only way you'll enter into that room of experience. And so I'm going to continue talking about the new covenant because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to be the mediator of a new covenant with better promises and a better way to live. And that's what I want us to do. We're going to tackle some big things. I'm not even game to bring them up yet. But we're going to go through the covenants. We're going to go through all sorts of things to see what's eternal and what's not. And decipher. I want you to be able to read your Bible and say, that's new covenant and that's old covenant. No matter where you read. Very, very helpful. So we'll talk about filters, we'll talk about all sorts of things. So who's looking forward to that? I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. I think I am. Am I ready? No. I have to move by faith. Whenever you minister, you go through a door by faith. When you stand up, you walk through a door by faith. And you're trusting that God is saying what he needs to say through you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for today. For your church and, Lord, the ecclesia. And, Lord, I pray that she would rise up and she would become the kind of church that you desired from the very beginning, a church that is unified, that is of one mind and thought, that, God, that one that is like one new man in one sense, that she becomes who you've called her to be. Lord, I pray for every individual here, God. I pray for every door that we have gone through and experienced. Lord, I pray, God, today that revelation would hit our hearts today. I need more of you. I need to experience more of you, God. And whatever door I need to go through, help me go through. Help me find the key of faith and go through that door, even though it feels like it's locked. God says, if you seek me, you shall find me. If you knock, the door will be opened. So, Lord, I pray the doors would begin to open, that this new season that we come into right now, each and every one of us individually, but also as a church, God, that we would be the kind of people of faith that would see the kingdom expand here in this place and beyond. So, Lord, bless your people. We are immensely blessed and curse-proof, co-heirs, equal with Jesus, living in heavenly places, a people of the Spirit, a people of life, imparting life into others. So, Lord, that's our heart and our desire. In your precious name, amen. God bless you, church. Great to see you again. And hopefully you have a good day. And as you go through that door out the back, you spread the kingdom light into the world outside there. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Is that all right?
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.